Oh, yeah, rock star, social commentator, shark chaser, follower. Not shark chaser. Eater.
Conversationist. Man-eating shark.
Brian Mannix is in the studio. 9429 1116. Your text thoughts on 0433 98 1116. How are you, great man?
I'm fairly well. Getting a bit of anxiety about all the sharks.
Well, you're a beachy. We establish you're a beachy, and you like to go to the beach. And when you go to the beach, if there's, you know, white pointers flying around, and we had yesterday, for instance, we had Jan, Juck and Torquay closed in the morning, reopened in the afternoon.
20 sharks spotted off the surf coast yesterday. 6 white pointers at Fairhaven 2 days earlier. And then at St Kilda, they're not even waiting for you to get in the water. You're sitting there building a sandcastle, there comes a shark up next to you. You know, I really think we need to look at the shark situation, because I'm not saying we should kill them, but we might have to, because they just seem to be in plague proportions. Last year in the New South Wales coast, 20 shark attacks in New South Wales. How many in Perth?
That is an awful lot.
I don't think it's precedented ever in Australian history.
That is a lot.
And I'm really over these people that say, well, we're going into their domain, so you know your chances. Well, I reckon that's just ridiculous. Can you imagine what a bad movie Jaws would have been if they took that approach? You know, the hippie gets killed, the Kitna boy gets killed, Ben Gardner gets killed, the guy in the boat in the pond gets killed, then Chief Brody comes out and says, well, you know, you're going in their domain, that's the risk you take. Well, how about this? You get in a 737, you fly up into the sky and a bird comes through the window. The plane goes down and kills 269 people. Do you say, oh, well, the sky's the bird's domain, you know, we know the risks.
Yes.
That shark on St Kilda Beach, he's on the land. That's our domain.
Gone.
Yeah. Did anybody walk up and take a bite out of him? No. So the ocean is their domain. So we've got 2/3 of the planet being run by a prehistoric fish with a brain the size of a thumb.
Well, we've got half the planet being run by someone with a brain the size of a
thumb.
Well,
there is that too.
It's not all that new. Then we've had experts. No one can actually. What's bugged me about this is we've had surf life saving people on, and we've had all sorts of people on. We're hopefully going to have a shark expert on in a minute. But no one's
another
been,
one.
Yeah, and no one's been able to tell me why. There's no actual reason. Is it water temperatures? Is it they're getting gay? Oh, you know, we talk about feral dogs and stuff starting to come in more into suburbs, and foxes and stuff coming in more into suburbs because they're getting used to what we do, and they're not scared of us anymore. Is that what's happening? The sharks are no longer scared of us because we're still bloody scared of them.
Well, I reckon they're either overfishing outside, so they've got to come in to get.
Well, they're coming in to eat. That's what they do.
But I just think the amount of sightings, like last year, 2015, we had 77 shark sightings. Last year, we had 177. I reckon this year we probably had 70 already.
Yeah.
And
now what's that stat that you just told me?
Well,
before
it's in the paper today. 55%, only 55% of sharks can be seen from the air. So the 37 that were spotted on Christmas Day was probably closer to 70.
So only just over half you can see.
That's what
from the air.
The guy in the paper said. It's a New South Wales study.
It's in the paper. It must be true.
Well, the bloke in the pub told me as well, so it's got to be true.
It's double backup there on that. Off the SMS, a couple of thoughts. 0433 98 1116, or you can give us a buzz on 9429 1116. Do people want to go culling birds the way they want to cull sharks? Well, no, they don't.
Well, it depends on how many windscreens they go through and how many, but you know.
More likely to be killed driving to the beach than actually eaten by a shark on the beach, says Stephen Brighton. Well, he's probably right.
That's true, but I just think there's we can't upset the sharks. Well, if there are too many of them, that will bugger up the ecosystem anyway, because they'll eat too much of whatever's beneath them. I think we really do need to have a good look at them, because
You're not saying you want to cull them or anything, though, are
I'm
you?
Saying I might. I'm saying we don't know enough about them. We don't know what their numbers are. We made a real mess of the crocodiles when we made them protected. You know, if you go up to Darwin, go to the Adelaide River, you can't even get in the thing. It's so chock-a-block with crocodiles. They pull 500 out of the...
We stopped.
We protected crocodiles for years,
right,
and they've just gone rampant.
Oh, okay.
And I just don't know. I can never remember in my lifetime the many shark sightings and attacks that we had over the last 12 months. I just think you've got to look at it. And then when you look at the research, nobody really knows. like how long a white pointer has, you know, they think it's 18 months, but they're not really sure. And so if you're not really sure of a shark's output, how can you make a decision on whether it's endangered or vulnerable or whatever? Yeah. I just think we don't know enough about it.
No, I don't.
And I think we need a royal commission into sharks.
If there's so many sharks, why is Flake so dear? Says Scott in Narre Warren, bringing it straight down to the basics of all time. Can't answer that question for you, unfortunately, Scott. Not in the fish business.
Well, yeah. Well, flathead tails are probably more expensive, and they're like the rats of the ocean.
Haven't we got netting going out in some parts of some beaches and stuff?
Yeah,
in Queensland they have.
Yeah, and in Perth they tried.
That work?
Yeah, it does. But you capture a few dolphins and stuff along the way. But we don't see as many dolphins as we do sharks.
No.
You know, when was the last time? Oh, we saw a pot of dolphins swimming around there. Well, no. You
know, and normally down there, is it Warrnambool, I think, down that way, where there's often whale sightings and dolphin sightings.
Yeah.
During the summer, but I haven't heard any of those. I haven't seen any of those photos on Facebook and Twitter, which is normally where you see them. But I've seen lots of photos of sharks on Facebook.
And when a whale washes up on the beach, we don't say, oh, well, they got into our domain. Yeah. You know, they knew the risks. Bad luck. No, we've got a bit more compassion than the sharks seem to have.
Well, we're not as frightened of as whales as we are of sharks.
No, well, is that, I guess.
Well, so they haven't done a Jaws equivalent for the whales to frighten us. And we go to SeaWorld and all those things and see the whales, and they're cute and they, you know, pump water out of the top of their head, and you think, oh, wow, they're fantastic.
They are fantastic.
They are. Now, surely, finally, some sense on the shark debate. Oh. Who are you listening to?
Yeah, must be on the other station.
clearly not us two, right? That's your kid, no? How do you know what percentage of sharks there are that you can't see if you can't see them?
You'll have to ask the New South Wales study that. I just read it in the paper.
It is a good point.
It's a valid point, I would imagine.
It's a very good point.
And that's why there needs to be an investigation rather than a knee-jerk reaction because, you know, it all started at the NRL Premiership. You know, that's where this whole thing got started.
Exactly.
The bloody sharks.
It could be worse. Sharks could have legs, says Dave in Hoppers Crossing. Flake is so expensive because of the shark fishing ban. Okay, there are lots to catch, but just not allowed to. Hence why the actual supply is low, says Jared in Geraldton.
And you're only supposed to eat the little gummy sharks, I think. You know, you can't go and have a chunk of bronze whaler.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to catch them all the time. We'd eat them. All the time. He said, no, this was in Queensland, when we lived in Queensland. And he'd go, no, it's flake. It's like you eat all the time in Victoria.
Yeah. it's great. I'd love to have a pet shark. I really would. But you know, I like people more than I like sharks. Yeah. And, you know, we can't just sort of go, oh, no, we'll take the shark. So that guy deserved to be bitten in half. He went in the water. Yeah, well, he was asking for it.
Jared's in Geelong has given us a buzz on 9429-1116. G'day, Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Good, thanks.
That's all right. Yeah, I totally disagree with you. We can't go killing them.
Well, yeah, let's have a look into their numbers. But, yeah, why can't we kill them?
Because I reckon there should just be a better action about it. Like, there's a thing, have you heard of a thing called a shark shield?
Oh, the electronic pulsar thing.
Yeah, why not make them on a bigger scale and put them at our beaches?
Well, yeah, if it works, I think that's
a
great idea.
Jared?
They do work.
So are you a surfer who has the, don't you put them on your surfboard and stuff like that?
I surf, I dive, I'm in the water all the time. I'm actually heading down to Anglesey right now.
Anglesey hasn't been closed. Some of the beaches around it have been, though. Dad, you're frightened. I mean, how far out do you go with your surfing? Are you out there where, are you seeing sharks?
We saw one the other day when they shut it.
Right.
Where was that?
At Point Road Night.
Right. So why were you still out there if they'd shut it?
No. We were just about to go in and then they'd shut it.
Oh, okay.
There was no actual waves anyway, but, yeah.
Okay. Do you worry about being attacked by a shark?
No, I believe it is their domain. Like, you can't just kill everything off, like, just because it's, like, not, like, what, like, Australia doesn't want it because it's, like, you're going to get bit by it.
Yeah, I agree. You can't just kill them for the sake of it. But I think it's worth having an investigation into seeing why their numbers and why there's so many attacks and so many sightings of them. It just seems very unusual over, you know, what's happened in the last, say, 2 years. Has never really happened before.
Hey, Jared, you mentioned you saw sharks. Have you been seeing dolphins and stuff when you've been out surfing this summer?
I haven't seen dolphins at our surf beaches pretty much at all, but I've seen dolphins in Cryo Bay heaps.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
But, like, you got, like, we just need a different plan, like, about it. Like, it wouldn't be that hard to build a bigger shark shield and put them in our beaches, and it would keep them alive.
Well, that'd be a good plan, because at the moment...
Why haven't they done it, Jared? Is it too, are they really expensive?
Probably because we're giving too much money to everything else, then we're talking about ourselves for a change.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you something to eat, and it's not flake or anything. It's two Bataki hams. Bataki, simply the best. Jared, enjoy those. Thanks for your call. Sean's in North Fitzroy. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
It's Shane from North Fitzroy.
Sorry. Hello, Shane. How are you going,
Shane?
Shane.
I'm good, mate.
Old Shane.
Hey, listen, well, I get very passionate about the shark issue. Now, the reason why, and this is gospel.
Uh-huh.
The reason why that sharks, there's more sightings and they're coming close to shore is because there's not as much food for them anymore because we're absolutely pilfering the ocean, right?
Yeah.
Now, they're coming in close to the shore. The other thing is, and that argument's right, if people don't want to get attacked by a shark or they're scared... Don't go in the water. Now, what they're doing in WA and Queensland, where they're putting down these drum lines and stuff, and just basically murdering and slaughtering magnificent creatures, sharks and crocodiles are probably the oldest creatures left in the world that have remained since basically the dinosaurs. So for us to go in there and just kill them, just because, you know, we might get a few more tourists, we can go for a swim, that is a terrible... terrible argument. So leave them alone. If you don't want to get eaten by a shark or a duck, don't go swimming at the beach. It's simple as that.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Shane, sorry. Thanks, Shane. Thanks for your call. The people talking about seeing off here, Robert Torquay saying, when we're out fishing for sharks, we see far more dolphins than white pointers.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
So there you go. That's a good thing from Rob. Take a break. We've got a shark expert on the way. Well, another shark expert. Got one over here called Brian Mannix. And I like flakes, so I guess I'm an expert too. Plenty more coming up. Okay, if you're playing at home, that's Michael Sandello, Maniac. Good song, that.
45-year-old chicks love it. Paul from Wawanee plays it when we play with him.
Oh, does he?
And the girls just go stupid over that song.
Over Maniac.
I can't believe it. I don't particularly like it myself, but girls love it.
I don't mind it. He was not the svelte rock star bloke, Michael Sembello.
Doesn't surprise
me. He came out here. I met him. He was actually a lovely bloke.
Was he?
But not your rock star looking, you know, not your John Cougar walking through the thing. Not your Brian Mannix walking down the street and everyone goes, there's a rock star.
He's got a shark under his arm.
Now, Brian Mannix is with me in the studio. 9:49, 11:16 for your calls. Your text thoughts, we've got heaps coming through on the sharks. 0433 98 11 16. Have we stepped up the surveillance? Hence, there's more sightings. Good question from Brad in Bendigo. This man might be able to give us a definitive answer.
Let's find out.
Because this is Andrew Fox, who's a shark researcher at Rodney Fox Shark Expeditions. G'day, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Yeah.
G'day, guys.
Now, is that your dad? You and your dad run this shark expedition company, do you?
Oh, yeah. He's been taking me out since I was a little boy nearly 40 years ago, so I've hardly missed a trip.
Did it start as a punishment for something you did badly? Or?
Oh, you know, I used to miss school. I used to do anything I could to get out on those trips. So it was like being an astronaut, absolutely.
Hey, Andrew, we've seen, we've been talking about it here because it's summer and hot and everyone's going to the beach and stuff. Well, we've had an awful lot of beaches closed in Victoria because of shark spottings. Can you, have you been looking into this and can you tell us, give us any information on why it's happening?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a typical story. You know, the more you look, the more you'll see. And you've had some beautiful, superb, perfect conditions for seeing sharks out there. And, you know, on one level, it's only a few sharks. And I've heard this includes bronze whalers, relatively harmless, and small great whites. However, erring on the side of the caution is the whole thing about liability now. So you've got to be, you know, not cry wolf and take it seriously.
Right. What about, like, last year there was something like 20 attacks on New South Wales beaches or northern New South Wales? That's an awful lot, isn't it? You know, in the past we used to get one or two shark attacks a year.
You know, there's one or two fatalities a year.
Right.
But an attacks are always subjective. What is an attack? And actually, 20 surprises me. But I know that up at Ballina, there was you see these things every couple of years. You saw it in Western Australia a few years ago. There was everybody saying there were 5 fatalities within, within a year.
Mm.
But you spread that out. It was 2 one year, 3 the next. And then it didn't hardly lift the 20-year trend nationally from above about 2 fatalities a year. So the media make a huge noise about sharks. We're all scared of sharks. But if you really look at the stats, it doesn't even compare to, say, drownings, which is 300 a year people drown around Australia alone.
Well,
so
Vic,
that puts it in perspective.
Well, Vic Hislop would argue that a lot of those people that go missing drowning, they're written down as drowning, but he reckons they've been bitten in half by a shark.
Oh, God, the conspiracy theories are irresistible to us, and particularly with sharks,
Yeah.
There's nothing more irresistible than a big fish conspiracy theory, and sharks copper, that's for sure.
Now, Andrew, are they an aggressive, we see jaws and we see all that stuff, and as you quite rightly say, the media paint that stuff up and blow that stuff up.
Absolutely, we love the drama.
And you can say the same about certain dog breeds and stuff. Where are the sharks in terms of aggressiveness? Are they just reacting to us being in their territory, or are they territorial?
Well, actually, do you know what? They're huge super predators that eat things our size, dolphins and seals, and I find it actually surprising that they don't attack us more often. It's such a rare thing that we're in the wilderness area. It's like us walking across the African plains expecting to be safe in a lion park and setting up a kid's bouncy castle in the middle of a lion park. It's a wilderness area out there. So what is amazing is they're not aggressive, but of course they're totally capable. And why wouldn't they eat something like us if they eat dolphins and seals? That's right.
Why are they coming closer to the as if they're coming closer to the coastline?
That's exactly right. It's an appearance. We had the same thing here in South Australia recently, where there's unprecedented numbers of sharks being seen, but it was a heap of bronze whalers on crystal clear conditions. So the public are surprised that, there actually are hundreds, even thousands of sharks out there living in the water. That's where they live. And if you look for them, you'll see them. If you don't see them, that's the worry. That's what you've got to be scared of. What you're dealing with there with the reports is only a handful of individuals that are usually smaller ones as well. But they're out there. They're always there. You just can see them better in these beautiful summer conditions at the moment.
Right.
Do we know that they are endangered or vulnerable? And if we do, how do we know that? Because there's still a lot we don't even know about sharks.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people arguing about that, whereas those actual terms are technical things based on real numbers about, with the ICUCN red list, about what makes a shark near threatened, endangered, least concern, critically endangered. They're all measured things that are validated by real things. So the science speaks for itself there. You can argue about it all you like, but, look at tigers, for example. People think, they're critically endangered, and luckily they actually lifted in the last 2016, but there's only thousands of tigers, yet they're critically endangered. But any more than a handful of great white sharks is a plague on the earth. So it's all in perspective.
But we hadn't even photographed a great white shark until 1968. Now there's millions of hours of footage of great white sharks. And can't they chug out about 10 babies in 18 months? So in 3 years you could have 20 great white sharks, and they live to 70.
Yeah, well, do you know, the great white sharks need to be over 5 metres long, the females, before they're even mature. They can take 20 years or more. And then they can have up to 10 pups, but usually a lot less. And that can be only 3 years between those litters. And then even though they're born at up to 4 foot long or longer, many of those probably don't survive. So the genetics themselves show that that we look for common mums, common dads in the genetics of all the sharks we've sampled off of the east coast of Australian population with this CSIRO, and had an estimate of only 750 to 1,200 adults, which is based on the genetic evidence, the statistics themselves.
But they can live to be 70, yeah?
Yeah, actually.
And so how long can they go on making babies for? Like, how many years are they good for
indeed.
Babies?
Indeed. Well, a male shark, based on nuclear events and signatures in its vertebrae rings, suggests that it could be 70 years old, and 40 for a female that we found in the Northern Atlantic. But there's a lot of speculation that may only be 30 or 40 years old. So it's...
How many years, though, can a female have babies for?
Well, if she's living to 30 to 20 to 25 years old before she's even mature, and every 3 years, she may only have a handful of litters in her whole life, you know.
And how long are the male sharks able to, you know, copulate with the female shark?
Yeah, well, you have to be a pretty big shark to take on one of those big girls. So even though they may mature more around the 12-foot mark, you know, just around the 3.5 to 4 metre mark sometimes, I think they're not, haven't thought to be really mature until they're at least, again, 15 years old. And, yeah, those big, big old fellas, they can live for maybe decades. And, yeah, they could only the good successful ones will probably get lucky taking on one of those big girls. But
Brian wants to come back as a shark. He's just decided he wants to come back as a shark. Hey, Andrew, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're very welcome, guys. Good luck.
Andrew Fox there, shark researcher at the Rodney Fox Shark Expeditions there, based out of South Australia. But yeah, just don't panic. I mean,
there's nothing to worry about.
As you mentioned there, we're seeing more of them because of the water's beautiful and clear and like that, but they're...
Well, I think the most important thing we learnt then was that you need to be in good shape to take on those big girls. So I'm getting down to the gym.
Who would have thought that did-did-did-did-did-did-diddly-do would have been a lyric on anything?
It's profound. It's right up there with Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Profound. What was the one you did the other day? Was it Stairway to Heaven you quoted the lyric out of the other day when you were in here?
Stairway to Heaven?
Yeah, we were talking about Led Zeppelin being going to court with it, and you came up with the lyric, one of the lyrics. Out
in Whole Lotta Love, he says, I want to be your backdoor man. I want to give you every inch of my love. I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway.
Neither do I. Well, I want to talk songwriting with you later on, but just we want to finish the Sharks off at 19-3. Brian Mannix in the studio. Diesel George said, I was out in the bay on Saturday, and now I know I saw two smaller sharks off Middle Park Beach, about 1K offshore. I thought they were dolphins. But
well,
they weren't. They were sharks.
Lucky you didn't pat them.
Sensational interview, says John off the SMS from Glen Oris. Asked great questions. The expert was fantastic. Knew his stuff. Having heard from the ignoramus, you've balanced it with the views of an expert, says Chris in Templestowe. I think he's talking about you.
I think I'm the ignoramus. Oh, well, good on you, Chris.
Because he's just said, tell Mannix to buy a backyard pool.
I just bought one from Kmart the other day. It cost me $49, and it's 2 foot deep and 10 feet wide. It's fantastic, but there's a bloody shark in it.
You'll have a pet shark in it before the end of the afternoon.
Oh, that's right.
All right, it's 18-3. Happy to take your calls at any time, 9429 1116, or your text thoughts on 0433 98 1116. You write songs. You're a songwriter.
Yes, I do.
Are you really conscious of where your songs might end up, and do you have control over where they might end up?
I don't really care, to be honest. I think you know,
but you don't want other people making money out of it, so you want to protect you. You've got yourself protected.
I'd be quite happy for some insurance company to use 50 years in their.
Oh, I'll bet you would. Well, that's a bit what I'm alluding to.
Yeah, everybody wants to work for the CES. It'd be great. I'd be more than happy to have some of my songs used in advertising.
Because I think there's a Queen one at the moment for a car of some description. They're using Crazy Little Thing Called Love for one. And the old Trog song, Wet,
Wild
Wet
Thing. Love is All Around.
That's obviously was in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Love Actually.
Is in one of those.
Yeah.
And became, you know, it became a wedding song and the undying love.
I was in Four Weddings and Love Actually. Yeah.
Okay. It's currently being used for, I think it's a margarine or a butter thing. And there's this little sort of dollopy thing made of margarine, like male figure, who's singing Love Is All Around, but he's made out of sort of margarine. I can't remember what the product is. I saw it last night.
Right.
I was like, what?
I would have gone for Why Don't You Build Me Up Buttercup for an ad like that, or Butterfly.
But this song that's become, I can imagine someone who got married, you know, to lovers all around and, you know, looking in each other's eyes and doing all that, the undying love, now turning the telly on and some little schlick margarine pop-up character is singing lovers all around.
But every time they have a piece of toast, it reminds them of their vows. Oh, I feel so romantic just having some toast.
That's just, just wonder. I know from an, there's obviously it's very lucrative.
Yeah, yeah. I know when I was working at Sportsbet, we were looking at getting the Who song, You Better You Bet.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was going to cost $100,000 to use it for 12 months.
For 1 year.
For 1 year, yeah.
Wow.
And I know Dale from Boom Crash Opera, he has the best thing, and a couple of Boom Crash Opera songs have been used, and that's generally worth about $40,000 or something.
Just for 1 year?
Yeah.
And you renew it for the...
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's good money in it.
Yeah. But you would feel funny about some areas. I know there was a big market in Japan at one stage where all the songs have been used there because no one thought anyone would see them. Then when it became global, it was like, whoops, now everyone's seeing it because it's on YouTube or it's on one of those ones. But and I suppose Australia probably comes into that. A lot of people in America would know that You Better You Bet, for instance, has been used.
Well, they didn't go with it, but it was the figure that the advertising company was sort of quoting. So, yeah, it's really good money in it. It's nearly as good as going on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here for $60,000 a week.
Have you worked out who the celebs are for this coming one?
Well, I believe...
That's the one reality show you haven't done.
No, I know, but...
You haven't done My Kitchen Rules, you haven't done MasterChef, and you haven't done I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of
Here. I'm working on it. It's on my bucket list. But
so you're not the pop diva? That's not you? There's a pop diva going
on? No, I believe it's... I think the Herald Sun suggested it might be Natalie Imbruglio.
Or Casey Donovan? Who's your co-star?
I'll ring Casey up and find
out. Well, I'm sure I saw her name mentioned today.
Really?
Yes, as a possible one for the diva in it.
She's done a soap opera, I think.
Yeah, she has.
So that's not Casey Donovan. I heard Natalie Imbruglio yesterday, David Spade, and then Toddy Goldsmith, and I did a bit of research on that, and the other Shantuzis told me that she's not doing it, but then they might be...
Dobbers.
They might have a vow of secrecy not to tell me. But.
Well, they don't, because I didn't know Merv was going in when he was going in.
Yeah, right.
And it had been very heavily suggested to me by Smokey Dawson, of all people, that Merv was going in. I said, no, he's not. I'd know by now if Merv was going in. And next minute I know, there's Merv in the jungle.
Well, I think Jason Ackermanis is...
Is he? Is it Dane, or is it Dane Swan?
Oh.
Or is it... Brad Hardy. We know it's not Gavin Wanganeen because we asked him on this program the other day. And I'm pretty sure the other one that's been talked about is Dipper.
Well, Dipper would be all right, but I reckon Jason Ackermanis is the one who's most likely to get fired up and crack him. So, you
Swanee would be asleep in the corner.
Yeah. Acker would give good TV, I think.
Acker would.
He nearly had a punch on with Mr. Boris on Celebrity Apprentice. So, you know, he's going to give good TV.
Did he?
Yeah, he's threatened to fight him, I think.
Oh.
And then he stormed out of the thing and said, yeah, right, you better not meet me in the street. And, yeah, he didn't enjoy the experience at all.
Oh, okay. 9429 1116 is the number. And also your text thoughts, got a few of those we'll get to after the break with Brian. Andrew's in Hyde. G'day, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
G'day, boys. Hey, the Brownlow medalist going in, you can take it to the bank, is Adam Goods.
Adam Goods. That makes sense.
Jeez.
Yeah. Because he's Sydney, so you get the Sydney people on board.
Oh.
Yeah.
Take it to the bank, Andrew.
Well, I'm going to get on the... I think you could probably make a bet on it.
I don't think it's being unveiled till, what, the 29th or something of January, the Sunday night. I think that's when they bring them all out and push them all through.
Yeah. Adam Goods, yeah, that's...
You're not the shock jock going in, are you?
No, I believe it's Steve Price, isn't it?
That's... I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. We might give Andrew a prize. What do we give Andrew?
Well, a batoki ham or a piece of flake.
No, even better. He can get his own. He can buy his own ham.
Yeah.
And he can get his own flake. But I'll give him some Alpine bread to eat it in. Good for your stomach. FODMAP friendly. Do you know what a FODMAP is?
Oh, of course I do. Everybody knows what a FODMAP is, Kevin.
Do you eat them? You've got no idea.
Well, if you get lost in your car, you get your FODMAP out.
No idea what a FODMAP is. And also the Doggies Almanac, the story of that magnificent premiership. So enjoy that, Andrew. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Brian Mannix, rock star, social commentator.
Pioneering jazz fusion.
Shark bait. That's what you are. You're shark bait. Rock star, social commentator, shark bait, denim and lace.
Denim and lace.
Then you'd be done, you would. Brian Mannix is in the studio singing Marty Roan songs.
We love Marty Roan.
He got into boxing promoting and stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was, he got into... don't think it was Anthony Mundine. It might have been, though, but he was into boxing promoting and I think all that sort of stuff.
Is he part Korean?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He's a big pop star in the 70s. He was huge.
He was. He was bigger than Brian Mannix.
He was the Justin Bieber of 1974.
He was, too.
He was huge.
He probably was. Great Hour Radio. Get Brian on more often. He's got a natural voice for radio. And
Thank you very much.
Yes. Now, off the SMS, this is funny. After we've been talking about I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, let me read you these in order of how they go. Number one, it's Acker. Had to miss North Albury pre-season, and he's the coach.
Uh-huh.
It's Dane Swan, mate. Put your house on it. He recently cancelled a holiday.
Uh-huh.
Number two, Adam Cooney is 100% going into the jungle, says Nick. Adam Cooney will be in the jungle. Natalie Imbruglia, for sure, given her recent outing on the SBS doco, says Greeny. So we're no closer to knowing who the Brownlow medalist is at all.
Did Kevin Bartlett get a Brownlow medal?
Never won a Brownlow medal. Should have won a Brownlow medal, if you ask him. A
couple of hand passes, he might have got it.
No, he could be the pop diva that's going in, I think. No, actually, Kev's the shock jock.
Oh, of course.
See, no one's mentioned all these ads on for our new breakfast show. No mention of when KB's coming back. No.
Now you're being silly.
So KB could be going into the... Could you imagine the wise old sage KB in the jungle?
Don't be stupid.
I wouldn't have to worry about... there's no problems with any food requirements because he'll eat anything. I've seen him at the... I've been at the races with him when we've done the broadcast from the races. Right. He eats... He eats the media tent dry, he does.
Oh, really?
And all he needs is a couple of cups of tea. So there's no big riders in there.
Wow.
He would be... He should be the shock jock going into the jungle.
Well, this bloke's a turkey. He's a gherkin.
Thank you, Kevin. That may be the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
He's a gherkin. Wonderful.
Now, I've got to play you this one. Our tennis stars are often guilty of doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing.
By the way, Kokkinakis has banged your girlfriend. Sorry to have to mention that.
That would be one of the things that that maybe they shouldn't have said, and maybe you shouldn't have said it either, but never mind.
Oh, sorry about that.
They all get into their sort of end, and we're speaking about Kokkinakis. He had a good win on the weekend.
Yes.
In the doubles. Finished that, was being interviewed on court, and this is what he had to say.
I was trying to have a crack at singles here, but I wasn't quite ready. So, I thought I'd put my ring in the hat with doubles. And, I'm here with Tomo, and, I think it's turned out to be a good combo.
So, anytime soon you'd be thinking of throwing your ring in the hat, Brian?
Look, I think you've got to get into doubles before you can get your ring in the hat. It's not really much fun to do on your own. But, if you're playing doubles, you can put your ring in the hat. That would be fine.
It's, one of those things which reminded us of one of the classics from one of the greats of sport who managed to mangle the English language like there was no tomorrow.
Where do you go from here, Mike?
I don't know, man. I might just fade into Bolivian, you know what I mean?
I'm just going to fade into Bolivian.
Bolivian? No, that's Bolivian. Bolivia.
Yeah,
okay. So
that's Mike Tyson.
I wouldn't be doing that if he was anywhere in the same postcode.
No, he's... Yeah.
But he's a bit of a serial offender, young Mike. Let's have another little listen to Mike Tyson at his finest.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What? A vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Spinal.
Dr. Tyson is ready to see you now, Mr. Mannix.
Didn't he want to eat somebody's children at some point? He's going to fight him and he's going to eat their children.
I feel so. Sports people say some of the dumbest things at times, and they're not meaning to be, mangling it the way they mangle it.
This is why they've got to keep the lid on things and take it one game at a
time.
That's
why they do speak in those cliches, because that's
because
exactly the reason.
We're not going to get into trouble.
Any plans for an X-Men reunion tour? Someone else over here on the SMS said that you are. The X-Men back together for Sutton Grange gig on the 27th.
Yep.
Got any lead-up gigs or later ones, says Darren off the SMS.
I don't know. I'm waiting to hear back.
Aren't the rest of the band talking to
we
you?
We might be doing... No. Yeah,
wouldn't be the first.
No, it wouldn't be the first. There's a chance we might be doing something on the 26th, which I think... I don't know.
Australia Day?
Yeah, I think... it might be Big Bash League, but I think it's out of us and a couple of other bands. So,
okay.
So if we get that, that'll be good because I'd like to go to the Big Bash. And I think it's a big bash, and maybe it's a soccer. I'm not sure.
Are you? There is a big, big soccer game on. Is the Victory Sydney game is on the 26th? That would be huge.
So it would be that. Wow. Yeah, because it's the Victory's home ground, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's their home game.
Yeah.
Down at Amy Park.
No, Etihad.
Or is it? It's Etihad.
Victory's Etihad.
That game. Well, they're both. So. Ooh.
Yeah. So that'd be good.
Exclusively here on 11:16.
Well, I haven't got the kick yet, so it might not well happen.
No, don't.
But we're playing on the 27th.
Don't let the facts get in the way.
Well, that's true. Let's talk about Sharks again. I never let the facts get in the way.
On the 27th, where are you playing 27th?
At Sutton Grange.
Oh, okay.
Rock the Vines, down near Bendigo.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You told us that one.
Of Kids in the Kitchen.
Any 80s shows coming up with Scotty and the boys?
Yeah, I'm doing a private function this week, and on the 22nd we're at Torquay, Pub, which is always a great day down at Torquay.
Very nice.
And we're counting Sharks down at Torquay.
Good pub. Now, I was watching, and I don't know if many people are watching this, Rage is having its 40th anniversary.
Is that right?
40 years, can you believe that? And they're playing, I think it's on the Saturday nights, I think it is, all the old 80s countdown thing. You haven't bobbed up on the ones I've seen from last weekend. I've watched most of last weekend's. I think I've watched it all now. But your very good friend Dale Ryder bobs up with their first single, Great Wall.
That was a good song.
It was a great song. The film clip was quite hysterical. Some of those film clips are quite hysterical when you look back at them now.
Oh, I'd like to see it.
He had this belt on that literally was like that. It looked like a world heavyweight championship belt that Dale had on.
He had the wrestling belt on.
It was like a wrestling belt. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to stir him up about that.
Stir him up about that one.
I'm going to go and have a look at this video.
Very pretty too, I might point out in the.
I don't look pretty. I don't sound like that. That's exactly how he talks, and he's always saying, "Hang on, Dale, I don't sound like that. I don't sound like that. You just see that. I don't sound anything like that." And then your sister goes, "Dale, you sound exactly like that."
Hey, Brian, thanks for coming in. Always
thanks for having me, Kevin.
Pleasure.